And if you have your Bibles, we're turning to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. And reading a very brief passage of Scripture found there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. And if you would read it audibly with me, either from the screen or from your Bible. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Such a familiar passage of Scripture. My topic or title for this morning is actually our theme for this year, and that is simply beyond. Beyond. I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning and point a direction for us as we move forward into the new year. So join with me in prayer one more time, and then we'll get right into our subject. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you have been with us in the past year. I thank you that, Lord, you are with us in this one. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to communicate your word as you'd have it spoken. I pray, Lord, that you will enable me to speak clearly. And Lord, speak the words that you want spoken. Lord, I ask you for that now in Jesus' name, that your name would be glorified. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. At our New Year's Eve service, we introduced our theme for this year, which is beyond. Last year, our theme was shift. And the reason we chose the theme for 2018 was because much of 2016, 2017 was consumed with our building project, getting prepared for it and then being in the project. And of course, pretty much every Sunday, we didn't miss a Sunday having church here in the sanctuary. Sometimes we had plastic strung up so that the construction zone was off limits, and there was lots of dust. You never knew what you were going to find when you came to church on Sunday. And so much of 2016 and 2017 was taken up with preparations for and the actual building and renovation. If you weren't here prior to the renovation, our sanctuary used to be much smaller, and our downstairs had no room really to do anything. And so there were a lot of internal renovations as well as the section that was added to the church. And so much time and energy was taken up with that, and there were a lot of good things spiritually that took place. But there was a lot of time and effort that went into the building project and just trying to keep things going while the building was being constructed and while the addition was happening around us. So last year, our theme was shift. We had completed the majority of our project, and our focus was not so much shifting, but being re-energized towards the spiritual. As we were no longer looking at what needed to be painted and what needed to be replaced, we were looking at now a renewed focus, renewed energy and vision towards spiritual things. And I think that over the past year, we've experienced that. God has been so good to us. The spiritual climate has been amazing. We have continued with the finishing parts of our project, and in the past year, we have spent just under $90,000 further to our project on the building, and I'm happy to tell you that was cash. We did not borrow to do that. We took a small loan and we began the project, but the Lord has blessed us. I will tell you that there were times that I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to pay for what we need to do. But you know, the Lord has a way of always coming through. When you honor God, God has a way of always coming through. And at the beginning of it, our commitment was that we will never be high pressure when it comes to raising money. And I think we have kept that. The Lord has just blessed us. This year, we still have a few things that we're working on and that we're not part of that project. We will be, Lord willing, as the funds come in, we will be renovating the kitchen downstairs. And if you haven't been down there, it sadly and sorely needs renovating, awfully badly. It really words do not describe how badly it needs it. And we are looking forward to renovating that and having it brought up to date, and we're going to be seeing what we can do to enlarge that. But we're, by and large, we're past most of the building project. Today, I want to speak to you about beyond. I was reading in the newspaper, the Gazette, the other day, about a project that has been ongoing, and sometimes you hear about it, and then there are gaps in time when you hear nothing about it. We've always been fascinated by that which is beyond. Whether it's that which has never been accomplished, breaking records, whether it's athletics or in technology, going beyond whatever has been done. You know, if somebody has flipped 6 times in the air coming down, somebody's going to try to do 7. We've always tried to go beyond. As I was reading, they were talking about man's exploration, and it's been man's curiosity that has explored the world in which we live that's created advances in almost every field that you could possibly think of, whether it's medicine or technology or what man has been able to accomplish in architecture. There's been some amazing things. In so many ways, we have gone beyond what previous generations have ever imagined. Even in my short lifetime, I look back, I remember when we got our first computer. And those of you who are younger, you're going to wonder about this one, why we'd even bother. It was an all-in-one unit from what was then Radio Shack. How many of you remember Radio Shack? Yeah? Okay. And It was the state of the art. This would have been back in the early 80s. And it was state of the art. We even got a dot matrix printer to go along with it. Dot matrix, people, it was amazing. If you managed to run a program just properly, you could get the outline of people in little dots. Does anybody remember those days? You know, some of you, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, dot matrix is what you see in a museum or something. And that computer, we thought we had it made because it had not one but 2 floppy disk drives. 5 1/4. Wow. One of them, you loaded the operating system and you loaded the program. And the other one, you loaded your data because it didn't have a hard drive. It was really dark ages, archaic, way back when. And I remember we thought, wow, we are at the pinnacle. It is amazing what technology can do. And I've got to be honest, because we were inputting church statistics and all the rest of it in it, and I really think that we spent more time trying to get it to work than it actually did spend time working. But we had it. It was great. Never would have imagined that you could hold in the palm of your hand way more computing power than what it took to get man to the moon. Never would imagine that. We've come a long ways. We've gone beyond. Right now, there's a tiny little type of spaceship or probe. It's called New Horizons Project, and it's out in outer space. In 2015, it explored Pluto. Now, whether you consider Pluto to be a planet or not, I'll leave that for you to decide. You know, I'm old school. I was taught Pluto was the planet, and so I'll stay there. Whether it is or not, just humor me. And so they explored it, and they sent the data back, and now that probe is 1.6 billion, that's billion with a B, kilometers past Pluto. for those of you who are into this sort of thing, it's kind of like to infinity and, I see who knows that one, to infinity and beyond. It's gone 4 billion kilometers. Imagine that. And now it's studying the makeup of a little place that you may never have heard of called Ultima Thule. Everybody know Ultima Thule? One. I thought I saw a hand back there. Maybe two people have ever heard of it. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't a big deal to me. I'd never heard tell of it. But it's actually a little, well, little. It's 32 kilometers long. It's a piece of space rock and ice. And the New Horizons probe is exploring it. And it sends back pictures. Now, it takes hours, if not days, for the pictures to get from the probe back to its base. But it's sending back pictures. It's amazing. Can you imagine 4 billion kilometers? That's beyond. Beyond. And yet the universe is so much bigger than that. That if that probe continues traveling, it will never, ever reach the limit of the universe as we know it. It's amazing. But it's not new. For centuries, men and women in Europe looked out at the ocean, at the Western Sea, what we call the Atlantic Ocean, and they saw the sun as it shone upon the surface of the waters, and they wondered what could be beyond. The map makers of that time would go as far as they knew, and then they would draw the picture of a dragon, of a mythical sea creature, and they would write, "Here be dragons." It meant we've never been there. We don't know what is there. It's beyond what we've ever imagined. Until one day, a man named Christopher Columbus defied logic, because scholars said that if you went too far, that you would fall off of the edge of the earth. That was their best explanation, because they didn't think that the earth was a globe or a circle. They thought the earth was flat. And apparently that's making a comeback today. They thought the earth was flat. And they felt like if you went far enough that you would just sail off the edge into the unknown. It was beyond what they could explain. Until Christopher Columbus and his comrades in arms began to sail. And sailed off into the sunset as people waited expectantly. After a long time, the sails reappeared. And they shouted with joy as Columbus explained that there was a land beyond the sea that was rich beyond their greatest imaginations or dreams. That there was a paradise. Their motto had been, "Ne plus ultra," which meant there is nothing beyond. But it was changed after Columbus to plus ultra, which meant there is more beyond. I've come here today to challenge all of us that there is more beyond what we understand. There is more beyond what we see. There is more beyond what we have been capable in the past of dreaming. And that takes us into the realm of faith. Now, for a long time, we've been convinced, and the popular philosophy has often been that, you know, we have the answers to all of our own problems. That man can come up with the solutions for his problems and the problems of society, and we have become better educated, but we still have many of the same problems. We've tried our answers and we discover that when we solve one problem, it's like you put your finger in the dam that's leaking in this spot and it begins to leak over here and you plug that hole and the water begins to come through somewhere else. We've tried to solve all the problems of humanity and we discover that often in solving our one problem, we create two problems. But there is more out there. We discover that we're getting better at identifying the issues than we are at solving the problems. And whether you're here today investigating faith or you've been following the Lord, serving the Lord for a very long time, there is always more to know. Now, this is going to be a little different because I just want to talk a little bit here. There's always more to know. That's why if you've read the Bible through once, it's important to read the Bible through again. And if you've read the Bible through 20 times, I'm sure there are some of you who have read the Bible through 20 times. That's a great accomplishment. But 21 will teach you something else. It's amazing to me. As I read the Bible through each year, and I make it a personal goal to not only read the Bible through, but to read the New Testament through multiple times as well, I discover that as I'm reading through, that there may be a passage that I've read so many times before, but because of what is going on in my life or in the church or in the world at that particular time, it's like, you know, the Bible teaches us that the Word is inspired by God. That holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That they didn't just write what they thought, they write what God thought. Or they wrote what God thought. And there have been times that I've been reading and I've read that passage so many times before, but it's like God just takes it, and now this doesn't literally happen, but I want you to just understand what it's like. It's like God put a heavenly highlighter on it. You ever had that happen? It's like that particular point in the scripture, all of a sudden, if everything else is in 12 font, it's in 16 font. And you're reading it, and it's like, where did that come from? How come I'm just seeing that now? Because you see, the Bible teaches us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof and correction. That's when we get off track and we need to get on track. And instruction in righteousness. And so whether you've read the Bible through once or 20 times, and this is your 21st time, God will speak to you, and God will by His Spirit illuminate passages in your heart as you read that will inspire you, that will correct you, that will encourage you, that will build your faith. There is more beyond. You say, Pastor, that seems really simple. Many of the things that are most important in living for God are very simple. Reading the Bible. I mentioned earlier, whether you read it in the King James, which is beautiful, beautiful language, but we don't talk like that anymore. If you read it in whatever translation you want to read it in, the important thing is that you're reading it. And God will take and He'll illuminate it in your heart, and He will inspire you by it. And it will change the way you view what's going on around you through the Word. There's more. There's more. But as we talk about going beyond, let me start with the very simple things. We go beyond reading the Word. We discover that there is so much more. We go beyond in prayer. Now, if you were looking for something really deep that you have never heard before, this may not be the morning. But we go beyond in prayer. I came here this morning to challenge you that if you're not praying at all, or if you're just a new believer and you're just getting started and it's all new to you, let me challenge you to start out by developing a consistent habit of prayer. Consistent Bible reading, whether it's the 5-5-5 plan or the bread plan or one of the other plans that are available, a consistent habit. Taking time to talk to God, whether it's in the morning or night. God hears you whether it's morning or night. Or whether it's both. But taking time to talk to God. And if you're not praying at all, let me challenge you to go beyond. Your beyond might be 5 or 10 minutes a day. So if you haven't been in the habit of consistently talking to God, I want to challenge you, and I want you to make this a personal growth goal, if you would. Make it a personal growth goal. I will pray 5-10 minutes a day. Now, I know that there are probably some of you who are saying, Pastor, 5 minutes? Like, aren't you setting the bar really, really low? Here's what we need to understand. It is far better to pray 5 or 10 minutes than no minutes. And sometimes we want to be like the guy that goes to the gym and he's going to put all the weights on the machine and he's going to do every machine in the place that first day that he goes, and then he can't move. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, Hercules, you know what I'm talking about. You go in there and you think, yeah, who needs to work out? I can do what everybody else has done. I'd watch that guy. I'll show him. And you're there gritting your teeth. I don't know if this is just a guy thing or not, but you're there gritting your teeth, and you got so many weights on there that you're just praying that something will break on the machine so you can quit. And you're trying. Well, sometimes we try to do that with our spiritual disciplines. You know, the first time you begin to work out, you don't put 200 pounds on the machine and think you're going to be great things and you're going to be able to move tomorrow or the next day. You start out small. Don't you? You know, you start out with less. And so let me encourage you. Let me just talk to you today. Let me encourage you, if you have not been able to develop a pattern of prayer, or if you've felt guilty because you weren't praying an hour a day or because you weren't doing great things, let me challenge you to start out with 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. And then once you get that habit built, do 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. All of a sudden, you're at 20 minutes. And you've worked your way to get there, and then you can keep building on that as you develop your relationship with God. And so let me urge you, if you're a person here today and you're at that 0 minutes a day, or if you're one of those that's into emergency prayer, you know, where we treat God like the emergency room, and so, you know, Lord, I don't need you right now, so I'm not even going to think about it, but Lord, here's an emergency, and so, hey God, it's me, and Lord, I'll go to church 3 times a week, 4 times a week. Lord, if they'll have 5 times a week, I'll go, and Lord, I won't just tithe 10%, I'll give you 20%, and I'm going to pray 3 hours a day, Lord, if you'll just come through in all this. Sometimes we treat God like an emergency room. And you can get patched up, but sometimes the problem is that we need to build up ourselves before we face the emergency. Bible reading, prayer. Maybe you're at the 20-minute level now, and perhaps your beyond is to add some more onto that. And so I want to challenge you, go beyond where you have been. We're going to be talking about going beyond our walls next week. But I want to challenge us spiritually. You know, there are habits and principles that are so important in our relationship with God. Another one is church attendance. Church attendance is important for a number of different reasons. Not just so that the seats are full. It's important for your spiritual growth. Because when you come together, we don't live for God in the church building. We're inspired by God in the building to live for God outside of the building. So when you come to church, coming to church isn't all you do living for God. Your life for God is lived out on the outside of these walls, wherever life takes you, whether that's work or school or home or your neighborhood or wherever it may be. That's where you live for God. But we come together in the church building to learn for instruction. We come together for correction. You know, you might be sitting here today and saying, I'm so glad he moved on from prayer because now, you know, I do pretty good getting to church. But not so good in prayer. So I'm really glad he moved on from that, and I can say amen, hallelujah now. But we come together for instruction and for correction. And sometimes the word corrects us, sometimes the word inspires us. And I hope, you know, if you haven't been praying, I hope that the word corrected you because prayer is so important. But I also hope it inspires you to say, I can do this. And as I do this, I develop my spiritual core. I develop my life. We go beyond. But church attendance is so important. The writer of Hebrews said to neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as we approach that day. As he talks about it, he talks about how we gather together to encourage one another. We gather together to inspire one another. And there's something about gathering together for worship, that worship lifts your mind from what's been going on in the world around you and allows you to see God through all the clutter of your life. So as you begin to sing, for instance, this morning, we sang, "How Great is Our God." You know, we need reminders in our lives that sometimes you go through life and there's this thing roaring at you, and there's the other thing that roars at you, and there's this obstacle in the way, and there's this situation that just kind of weighs on you. And there's something about worship when you begin to realign your focus from what is at your level to begin to see God above everything. You begin to sing, "How great is our God." You realize how much bigger God is than the things that I face within my life. It begins to realign us. And so let me challenge you to go beyond. You know, if you've been doing pretty good on coming on Sunday morning, let me challenge you to pick up a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Wednesday night is Bible study. It's where we dig deep, and it's where it's just getting into the Word. Let me challenge you. These are things that will help you to grow beyond where you are now. Because Christian life is not meant to be static. It's not meant to be, I have arrived at this place and this is where I will stay. It's meant to be a process of growth, much as life is about growth. And life is about maturity. The Bible speaks often about God bringing us to a place of maturity within our lives. He calls it perfection. It doesn't mean I don't have any areas in my life that I don't need to work on, but it means that I am growing in maturity and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. So that means that there are times that God has to stretch me. You know, in a minute, I might get to my sermon. It means that God... Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you that long. It means, you'll notice we haven't even gone beyond the title slide, have we? No, we haven't. It means that there are times that God will stretch you. And sometimes those stretching times of life are not the enemy at work in your life. Sometimes God puts us in situations where we are stretched because he wants us to grow. And if we are never stretched, we never grow. We can be happy to sit where we are and clap our hands and sing our little songs, but God wants to move us into places that we have never been and to dimensions that we have never explored. And sometimes that means he stretches us. Stretches us. Sometimes it means that God brings people in your life that will inspire you. You know, those are the kind of people we need in our lives. People that will inspire you. I'm so far off my message right now, I might just well keep going. Let me just say this. If you bring people into your life that are a constant drag on your spirituality and on your positivity and on your life, you will constantly struggle. We need to have people within our lives who will encourage us to be better than what we were. Who will challenge us to keep on going when we feel like all I need to do is lay down and die. That we need people that will inspire us to follow God in ways and dimensions that we have never done before. Sometimes God will bring people into your life that will inspire you. Sometimes people will bring people into your life that will irritate you. Anybody know that's true? Oh, I see you smiling. You just got a picture in your head right there. I see that. Sometimes God is at work. God is at work sometimes through the irritating people that he brings into your life. Because God works to shape us. And maybe, perhaps, could it possibly be that God uses difficult people within our lives as a way to stretch our character and as a way to stretch the fruit of the Spirit within your life. You see, it's easy to love when everybody else loves you. It's easy to be patient when everybody else is doing what you want. It's easy to have self-control when nobody's pushing your buttons. God uses people. And perhaps God has placed them in your life to shape you. But perhaps God has placed you in their life. Do you know that a pearl begins as an irritating piece of sand in an oyster? Did you know that? And could it be that God is going to make a pearl out of somebody's life and God plants you for the gospel's sake? You say, no way, no way, that's impossible. That could never be, not that person. Could it be that God plants you there to shape you, but to also allow you, by being shaped, to touch their life in the name of Christ? Yes. I'm going to ask you to stand with me because I haven't even started, so I'm not finished. But stand with me anyway. Beyond. We're looking forward this year. To God taking us beyond. We've been blessed. No, I think of what God has done here, and I'm amazed at what God has done. He's blessed us as a congregation financially through your faithful giving. He's blessed us spiritually as people continue to be added to the church and to follow the Lord, and that's wonderful. And I'm just so appreciative of that. I believe that this coming year that we're going to grow numerically beyond what we have ever been, and I'm thankful for that. And that's all wonderful. But what's really important is that we grow spiritually. Because it's possible for life to be a mile wide and an inch deep. And God works in us, to shape our character, to shape who we are. And He does that through those things that I've mentioned this morning, and I'm not going to go back and recount them and recap them, but God works in us to do that. And this morning, it could be that you're here and, well, if this is your first time here and you're just kind of investigating, I hope that God will just inspire you in your journey. He'll inspire you about faith and about Him. But if you're here today and you're in a relationship with God, I want to challenge you to allow God to take you beyond what has become your norm. Because as human beings, we have a tendency, we'll grow, but then we have a tendency to reach a comfort level where life's pretty good. Yep, doing okay. Doing okay spiritually. I've come to this level and we become comfortable. But I want to challenge every one of us here today to allow God to speak into our hearts. It may be about prayer. It may be about Bible reading. It may be about kicking out of bed in the morning and getting to church. It may be that God's dealing with you about the way that you are and saying, I want to change inside to make you more like me. It may be that that's where you are. But I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, and we're going to pray. And would you make that your prayer today, Lord? Allow me to step beyond my comfort level. Allow me to discover new and greater things that you're able to do in my life. Maybe that you're here and you've never received the baptism of the Spirit, which is God's power within your life. It could be that this morning that's what God wants to do within you. Maybe that you're here and you need healing. Could you dare to believe this morning that God can heal you as we pray? Let's pray together. Jesus, right now, I thank you for each person that's in this place, and I thank you for your hand that's upon us and your presence that is here. Lord, I pray that somehow this morning that you are speaking into hearts and into lives. Lord, I pray that you will challenge us, challenge me, Lord, to go beyond. Lord, challenge all of us here today. Lord, because we get in our comfort zone and Lord, we become comfortable with where we're at, but you challenge us to always keep coming closer to you and always to keep growing in our relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us. Lord, I pray that you will inspire us to prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll inspire us to get the word in our hearts. I pray that you'll inspire us about worship. Lord, I pray that you'll inspire us about our consecrations to you. And Lord, I pray in the next few moments that your Spirit will be manifest among us. Lord, I pray that you will meet needs in this place as our faith reaches out. And Lord, I pray that you will do wonderful things among us here now. Lord, as we give you praise and glory for where you're going to lead us and how you're going to direct us and how you're going to speak, and you are speaking into our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing. And we always end up Sunday morning with a prayer time, and that's so important. But on this first Sunday morning, I'd like to invite us. We'll invite us. We'll invite us. We'll invite us. We'll